نه نمیخواد همین. خیلی ممنون. Surah Al-A'raf 189 and 190. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملت حملا خفيفا حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوا الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين فلما آتاهما صالحا جعلا له شركاء جعلا له شركاء فيما آتاهما فتعالى الله عما يشركون صدق الله العلي العظيم. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. This term, this phrase has been repeated in the Quran 5 times in different chapters. One of them is Surah Al-A'raf. One of them in the beginning of chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa. هو الذي خلقكم. It is He, your Lord, who created you from a single soul. من نفس واحدة. Single soul means the same soul. وجعل منها زوجها. And made his spouse or his mate or his spouse, زوجها, ليسكن إليها. Few points here that we have to mention. هو الذي جعلكم, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. There are debates among Muslim and non-Muslim theologians and philosophers as when it comes to the creation of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they were created by God. Then, after that, they had children. They had Cain and Abel. And those children, they got married. Who they got married with? There are different theories. Some people think wrongly and mistakenly. Some Muslim scholars, they think mistakenly that Cain and Abel, Habil and Qabil, they married their own sisters. So they were two brothers and two sisters. So one brother married a sister, which is completely rejected in the school of Shia Islam. We don't accept this nonsense. God does not allow a brother to marry his sister. It is haram from day one till the last day. But this theory And this opinion is found in other traditions. You know, when I mean other traditions, your mind has to go somewhere in other traditions. They believe that each brother married one of his sisters and then they had children. But that does not work. This is an incest. It's called incest. Zawajul Maharim. It's an incest and it is completely forbidden. Not only in Islam and our tradition. In all previous religions from day one. The second theory says God brought wives from paradise, angels, an angel, female angel for Cain and a female angel for Abel. So human, Cain and Abel being humans, they married two angels. Again, we do not subscribe to this opinion. Because you cannot marry angel here on this earth. Even though you think your wife is an angel, but she's still a human being. Yeah. You may marry them, inshallah, when you pass, when you go, you know, to Jannah, inshallah. If we go to Jannah, everything is possible there. But here in this life on earth, angels don't get married. Angels have no desires. They have no desires. They don't eat. They don't drink. They don't sleep. They don't get married. Angels are angels. They are pure servants. They work very hard and they are servants. So they don't get married. So this is again a second theory that we reject. What is the opinion that the school of Ahlul Bayt, our tradition we believe in, regarding the marriage of Cain and Abel? We believe that God created two females, human beings for them. God who created four from nothing, he cannot create another two, extra two. It would be difficult for him. His machine is going to break down. Only creates four and then breaks down. He created two human beings. Two human beings where Abel married one and Cain married the second. And this is how we were multiplied. This is how the human race continued and was multiplied until we, alhamdulillah, those beautiful faces here were created along with 7 billion others around the world. This is exactly what the Quran says. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا O mankind, we created you from the same soul, not from jinn, not from angels, not from spirits. You are created from the same soul. The same soul of Adam, the same soul of Eve. Adam and Hawa, they were humans. We created you from that soul. Not from the soul of an angel, or a jinn, or a spirit, or shaitan, or this or that. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدٍ. This is the meaning. الواحد النوعي. Philosophers, they say واحد النوعي. So here Allah says your wife is from your نوع, your type, not a different species. Your spouse from the same species, same, exact the same. Because if she's from a different species, if she's a jinn, let's say the wife is a human and the husband is a jinn, we're going to have a problem. Because he's going to disappear. She cannot see him. Where he is? Is he at work? Is he in the gym exercising? Is he in the school? So it does not work. It has to be two humans from the same species. Here there is a point, my friends. In marriage there is an important point. Allah says marriage is based on understanding. Today, if you want to summarize marriage in one term, one phrase, if they ask you what is marriage, the best phrase that reflects the true nature of marriage is understanding, mutual understanding. This is the most important ingredient in marriage, understanding, mutual understanding. And understanding here entails that they are from the same species. Both are human beings. So they can be compatible and equal with each other. At the same page, at the same platform. And also more than that, it entails something further in the marriage, in the institution of marriage and family, that they have to share the same culture too. Because culture counts. Not only religion counts, culture too counts. They have to share the same aspirations. There should be some compatibility between them. Social compatibility, religious compatibility, philosophical compatibility. If they think differently, they're going to have a problem at home. If one of them is radical, the other is a moderate, they're going to have a problem at home. If they have differences in ethics, they're going to have a problem at home. If one of them is open-handed, generous, the second is stingy, bakhil, they're going to have a clash at home. If someone is kind, open-minded, a loving person, a caring person, the other one is a mean person, selfish person, they're going to have a clash. This marriage is not going to work. Even more than that, even when it comes to education, my friends, do not assume that someone who went to school, a man who went to school and he graduated and he has a college degree and then he went to university and then he can marry someone illiterate because it's his wife. It's okay. She's just cooking at home. She's changing the kids' diapers. So it's okay if she's an illiterate person. No, that does not work. They're going to have a clash. Even when it comes to education, they have to have compatibility. Education nowadays, education counts. Maybe 50 years ago, 100 years ago, someone who's very scholar, he's well-versed, he's knowledgeable, he's this, he's that, he can marry someone who has no basic education. Maybe it worked 100 years ago. Now it does not work anymore. You have to have compatibility in education. Even in social status. What do I mean by social status? If someone is extremely rich, he's better to marry someone else who is extremely rich, not someone who's poor. Nowadays it counts. These things, they count in our community, unfortunately. Yes, 100 years ago, someone who's rich can marry someone. Khadija alayhi salam was extremely rich. Prophet Muhammad was extremely poor. And they married. And they had no problem. Khadija said to the Prophet, this is my money. My money is your money, community property. Not even she split the money half and half. She said, all my money is for you, for your faith, for your work, for your da'wah, for inviting people to Islam. It did work. Nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have these two angels anymore. We don't have. Nowadays, marriage, one of the problems that we face in marriage is the issue of money. Financial issue. 99% of the reasons why people get divorced, it's because of money. So it's better that they have financial compatibility. They are from the same category. It's better to do that. Yes, if you live in an ideal society where people are mature, they reach maturity, rushd, then someone rich can marry someone poor and they have no problem. They can share their life together. But nowadays this thing does not work. Because we are in the wrong place. We the humans nowadays, we live in the wrong place. We live in a society which is highly and deeply materialistic. Maddi. And I don't mean only America. Even if you go to Muslim countries, they have the same problem. They are becoming materialistic. Do you know that in some Muslim countries who say we are Muslim society, if someone wants to get married, they have five parties. One is pre-engagement party. The second is the engagement party. The third is post-engagement party. The fourth is a pre-marriage party. The fifth is the marriage party. and the sixth is the death party, you know. Believe me, and in each party they have to have different wedding gowns, different gowns and different dress and different thing and different food and different hall and different hotel and different. These are in Islamic societies. In Islam, where Allah says, make your marriage simple. If you have money, save this money. Buy a house for yourself, for the future of your children. If you have extra money, give it to those who don't have. Around you, there are many people can't afford marriage because they don't have. They can't rent a room. Give it to them. But nobody listens. Nobody listens. And do you wonder why in the Muslim countries we have bloodshed nowadays, conflicts, and dictatorship and corruption? Do you wonder? No, I don't wonder. Allah says, when you act arrogantly, when you act unethically, un-Islamically, this is the result. You're going to suffer. Your children are suffering. The next generation is going to suffer. Unless you change. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. God does not remove the pain and the suffering unless people do something positive. They have to take the initiative to change their conditions. God is not going to change our conditions by a miracle. God says, you are my representatives on earth. I have given you brain, reason, power. You change. You don't see a mother writing the homework for her son or daughter. You don't see that. She teaches him, encourages him, but she does not write the homework. So God does not write the homework for us. He says, I guide you, I encourage you, but I'm not going to write the homework for you. You have to do it yourself. So, خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدٍ. Here means that if you want to get married, it's better to get married with the same type. If you ask me, my friends, I think even language counts. If you are an Iranian, marry an Iranian. If you are an Afghani, marry an Afghani. If you are a Lebanese, marry a Lebanese. If you are an African-American, marry an African-American. Just like our beloved President Obama. If you are white American, marry a white American. It counts nowadays. Why? Because the level of tolerance is very low. If the level of tolerance was up and high, we can cross these gender boundaries and cultural boundaries and artificial boundaries, but we can't cross them anymore. We can't. So, the more commonality we have with your spouse to be, the more the marriage is going to be stable. Having said all of that, still with all these commonalities, still the marriage is not stable. Because the thinking is different nowadays. The thinking is materialistic, maddi. Is materialistic. The thinking is not how to build a strong family, raise good children, proud children. No, it's not about... It's how can I make some profit out of this marriage? How can I rip him off? Get another car, another mansion, another land, another this, jewelry, this, that. You know. You know, one of the famous divorces that took place in New York City, someone who was not a multi-millionaire, he was a multi-billionaire. Multi-billionaire. And you know, those who are multi-billionaires, they are smart. They know how to secure their marriage. You know, they make a prenup. Before the marriage, they make a prenup so the wife does not, you know, make a profit out of this marriage and get half of their estate away. Despite that, his wife was smarter than him. And she divorced him and she claimed half of his wealth. Half means multi-billion dollars, not million dollars. Multi-billion dollars. In an interview outside the court, he said she has no right to that because we were living in New York. When she think of lunch, she board a private jet and she goes and have lunch in Paris. In Paris. Private jet to have lunch in Paris. And if she thinks of dinner, she can fly from Paris to South America to have Brazilian, let's say, breakfast, whatever. And she never did cook a meal for me at home. She ate always outside. She spent her entire life shopping in New York and elsewhere. See, some people look at marriage, they take advantage of it. It's not a responsibility for them. Neither it's a shared or a mutual respect, nor it's thinking about having children and making the society strong. It's about business for them. It's about business for them. Those of you who are not married, open your eyes. Friends, brothers, sisters, open your eyes. Don't make the wrong choice. Don't make the wrong choice. You make the wrong choice, you destroy your entire life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَكُمْ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدٍ. We created you from the same species, same soul. So you can thrive together, you can work together. When there is common ground between you, it means there is more understanding between you, more cooperation between you. You're not going to have conflicts in your marriage. But despite all these things, we still see conflicts. Conflicts. Because the objectives are different. Someone marries for the sake of Allah, he wants to make himself healthy, his wife, his children, his community. And someone who marries for the sake of dunya, so he makes himself sick, his wife sick, his children sick, and ultimately his society sick. And we see both types. Nowadays, watch the news and you see both types. خَلَقَكُمْ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And he created, he made your mate of the same nature. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. So your mate has the same nature. She's not a jinn or an angel, or she comes from the moon or Jupiter. She's with you here on this earth. She's supposed to share the same goals and aspirations in this life with you. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Why you created spouses that are close to us and common? They have common principles with us. Why? This is the magic word here. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. In order that you may dwell with them second. What is second? Second, stability. That you may find stability with them. Allah says marriage is about stability. Is about second. Aramish. Second in Farsi means aramish. که شما آرامش پیدا کنید با این همسرتون. آرامش. You find peace, peace of mind. You know you have someone loyal who is with you, standing with you at the time of need. This person is not going to run away. He says, I am with you. We are in it, ups or downs. I'll be with you. I'm holding you. I'm not betraying you. I don't run away from you. This is marriage. If this is not found in marriage, that marriage is a disaster. That marriage is a disaster. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. This is the message of marriage. And this is why God created marriage and He overemphasized marriage. God keeps telling us, get married, get married, get married. Don't make it late. If you search for stability, if you search for content and satisfaction and happiness and progress, get married. But get married not with the wrong person. Get married with the right person. Always try to find this character in someone who comes and asks for your hand, or if you are contemplating or getting married, try to find someone who's ethical, someone who knows God, someone who respects God, someone who has values and principles. Some people have no values in this life. Some people have no values in this life. Some people are worse than beasts and animals. They don't have values. So don't waste your time 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of your time with an animal. Don't. That animal is going to prey on you, destroy you, and destroy your children, and destroy your society. We should not encourage this type of marriage. Don't. Some people become emotional at the time of marriage. Emotional. They are not reasonable. They fall in love with the wrong person. A person who does not have iman. And that person is going to take you slowly, slowly. Even if you are religious, she or he is going to take you away from God. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Like a disease. Like a disease. Slowly, slowly. Takes you away from God. After 10 years, you open your eyes. What did I do to myself? I was this and this and this. Look at me now. This is because of your wrong person and wrong choice. Wrong choice. I know many of you would say, this is too late. Please stop. You know, I know. But then we can tell your children. We can tell our children, our grandchildren. We can give them nasiha. The best nasiha a grandfather, a father, a mother, a grandmother, an uncle can say, tell them, listen, I am giving you the experience of 50 years of my life. Don't repeat these mistakes. Open your eyes. We have to tell them. Open your eyes. Allah says, if they are poor, we're going to enrich you. How many people I saw them in my life? They were penniless. God enriched them of His bounties. And how many people they married the wrong person because of money and they got nothing. Nothing at all. They got no single penny from that person. This is the hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. من تزوج امرأة لمالها وجمالها لم يرى الحسنى. The Prophet says, if you marry a person for his handsomeness, beauty, attraction, or wealth, you are not going to experience happiness or goodness in your life. That does not mean go and only marry someone who's not good or not beautiful or not... No. See, my friends? The Prophet says, do not make that goal the only goal. Look at religion first. Now, if religion comes with wealth, it's very good. If religion comes with attraction, very good. If religion also comes with good name, good reputation, very good. But make the priority what? Akhlaq and religion. The Prophet says two things, deen, religion, and akhlaq. Some people, they have deen, but they don't have akhlaq. And some people, they are nice, they have, you know, some akhlaq, you know, outside akhlaq, but they don't have deen. Deen is the inner core of things, akhlaq is the outer. And they both integrate one another. Deen is inside, akhlaq is outside. Akhlaq is the reflection of deen actually. Reflection of deen. And they both integrate each other. Consider these, deen and akhlaq. Then of course if that person is educated, it's very good. If that person is wealthy, very good. If that person comes from a famous family, very good. These things are good. I'm not saying these things are bad. But I say look for two characters first. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. So the Quran says we created your wife for you so you can find some peace with them. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. And then Allah says, some people, they ask me for children. They get married, they don't have children. So they keep asking, oh God, please, give me a son. Give me a son, please. I need a son who's righteous, who's good, who's this or that. They keep praying. فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا. One, a husband and wife, they get together, and his wife, she gets pregnant. فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ. When pregnancy becomes heavy means what? Huh? Painful. When a pregnancy becomes painful, of course. It has pain with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. His mother carried him pain above pain, burden above burden. Wahnan ala wahn. Pregnancy is not easy. It's not easy. We discount our mothers. We forget how did we come into this life. You know how much your mother suffered pain after pain, pain after pain. Not only physical pain, emotional pain. Your mother fears for you when you are in her womb. She fears for you. She wants to protect you. Even when you are out, she's always after you. Wahnan ala wahn. So, فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ. When the wife, the pregnancy becomes heavy with pain, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا. The father and the mother, they start praying to God. لَئِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا. If this son or this daughter become صالح, righteous, صالحًا, good person, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Definitely we're going to be one of those gratefuls to you, شاكرين. شكر گزار خواهیم بود. اگر این فرزندی که در شکم این مادر هست به دنیا بیاد پسر خوب در بیاد ما شکر گزار خواهیم بود. لنکونند من الشاكرين. فلما آتاهما صالحا. Once the baby comes out and he grows, whether he's a male or a female and he's a righteous person, جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا. The fathers and the mothers, if the children are smart, they are not going to say, see, we prayed to God and He gave us a smart children. They're going to say, I was a smart. See, He takes after me, my son. I'm intelligent and my son is intelligent. I am so attractive, look at me, my eyes, you know, my lips, and my, see, this is my production, this is me and the wife. See, we produce such a beautiful generation. So they keep saying me, they forget about God. They forgot that they asked God, they pleaded to Him, please God, give us a good son, give us an attractive, they forget about that. جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَى. They make for God partners. How do they make partners? They assign all these attributes, the good attributes in their son or daughter to whom? To God or to them? Huh? To them. This is shuraka. They are creating shariq with God, partners with God. They don't assign these good attributes to God. They don't say 5 years ago we were praying, oh God, give us a son, give us a daughter, give us this. They don't. They forget. At the time of distress, we remember God. At the time of ease, do we remember Him or not? We don't remember. Some people, they understand God wrongly. They think God is only at the time of emergency. God is like 911. You don't call 911 unless you are in a state of emergency. But if you are comfortable, smiling, happy, you have food, you have shelter, you have health, you have family, you don't need to call upon God. Leave Him alone. He's busy. God says, I am always there. I want you to call upon me every time, every day. جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ. High above those partners they ascribed to God. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Unfortunately, at the time of distress, we remember God only at the time of distress. We have to create this thinking that God should be always with us. Whether we are happy or unhappy, He's the same God. Whether I have a need or I don't have a need, He's my God, He's my Lord. He should be always with me. We should not abuse God by remembering Him only at the time of need, at the time of disaster, at the time of a problem. That does not work. God is there. Imam Ali has a beautiful saying, and I conclude with the saying and the statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, oh, the servant of God, meaning you and me, we are the servants of God. He says to him, be careful. Be careful that you should not only remember God at the time of distress and you forget Him at the time of ease and comfort. Imam Ali continues to say, he says, when you are at the peak of your comfort, at the peak of your happiness, at the peak of your accomplishment, imagine one day you reach the peak, you are the most victorious. At that minute, when you feel you are the most powerful and you are the most protected and you are the most secure person, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can do anything wrong to you. You are powerful. You have everything. Physical checkup is perfect. You have money. You have your family. Everything is good. Everything is running smoothly. At that time, you have to call upon God the most. The most. The most. Amir al-Mu'minin mifamayat a bandai khuda. A farzand adam. روزی که تو خیال میکنی امروز دیگه رسیدی به بالای بالا از همه لحاظ، از لحاظ مادی، از لحاظ معنوی، خانواده، بچت، زندگیت، بزنست، نمیدونم اینا همش خوب خوب، اون روز شما باید نمازت بیشتر باشه، دعات بیشتر باشه، توجهت به خدا باید در اون روز بیشتر باشه، چون این امتحانه ها، این امتحانه خدا میخواد ببینه آیا در این حالت ها دیگه بیاد خدا میفتی یا نمیفتی. خیلی ها میفتن یا نمیفتن. نمیفتن. فراموش میکنن. میگه دیگه خدا رو چیکار کنیم دیگه. الان که همه چی داریم دیگه. دیگه به خدا زحمت ندیم خیلی. زحمتش ندیم. اینجوری دیگه نگاه میکنن. You have to call him at the time when you are the most powerful. You say, oh الهی, I need you. These things are not going to deceive me. These things can get what... go away in 1 second. I may lose them in 1 second. I have nothing in this life but you. Huwa al-baqi. You're going to remain. Everything is going to perish. You're going to remain for me. Maybe my family is going to go, my business, my health, my everything. You remain. I need you. These things are not going to deceive me. In chizai ke daram, manu gul nemizan khodavar. This is how we should pray. We should pray at the time when we feel we are the strongest. At that time we need more prayers, more prayers. That is going to crush arrogance in us. Arrogance in us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أقربكم مني يوم القيامة أحسنكم خلقا وأكثركم تواضعا. He says the closest one among you to me on the day of judgment, meaning you're going to be living in my zip code, in my street, in my community. Two people with two characters. أحسنكم خلقا. The akhlaq are good, excellent. وَأَكْثَرُكُمْ تَوَاضُعًا, and the most humble of you. Humble. And humble is against what? Arrogance. Humble is against arrogance. If you want to be closer to the Prophet, أَحْسَنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا, take care of your akhlaq, your manners. And second, be more humble. Be more humble with ibadullah, with the servants of God. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. Let's recite أمن يجيب for several people who asked us for دعاء. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء.
أما أن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما أن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله اللهم اكشف كربة المكروبين اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية عجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات